We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Exodus chapter 27, in verse 20, and it says, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always." Now look at that phrase, "to cause the lamp to burn always." Layman's term, the lamp is never to go out. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statue forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Now look over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you will. And it says, "And the Lord and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." Now here is the phrase I want you to see. "And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." God said previously that the light should never go out. And here in chapter 3, verse 3, "And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, which the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." Now, I want to, this morning, to preach on those two portions of scripture there that I read. And I would simply take the text and name it the lamp of God. I think that's what you see common in both of those portions of Scripture, talking about the lamp of God. And so Exodus 27:20 says that the lamp is to burn always. In other words, it is to never to go out. And then 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." Now, I want to just give you a little background here concerning the lamp of God. In other words, the golden lamp was one of the most beautiful furnishings in the Old Testament tabernacle. It was made, they say, out of about 90 pounds of more pure gold. And that was beaten into shape. In other words, they didn't shape this candlestick into shape because the Lord did not like any kind of a graven image. So they beat it into shape. So it had 7 bowls to hold oil for the fuel. And it was located on the left as you would enter into the holy place. And so many things in the tabernacle, had some type of symbolic meaning. Now, when I say that, I want to preemphasis right here to say this, that symbolism is not a safe foundation for building doctrine. But I do believe that we can gain a lot here from studying this symbolism between this lamp of God and the Christian. And so many believe here that the lamp was a picture of Jesus Christ. And some say that the beating which shaped it was representative of Christ's suffering on the cross of Calvary. Because we know that the Bible says that Jesus was beaten, that he was almost impossible to recognize him as a human. And we know that he suffered a tremendous beating. And so the oil flowing through the canals in the lamp, in the base of the lamp, and in the bowls were a picture of the Holy Spirit filled life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, Jesus Christ is God. Now we know that. We know, regardless of what people say, that Jesus is God. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And so we know that Jesus was 100% God. And we also know that when he came down to this earth, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he became 100% man. And so he functioned as a spirit-filled man here upon this earth. Even though he was God, he still functioned as a spirit-filled man here upon this earth. So many theologians say that the light given from that light was a picture of the illumination of the Holy Spirit and the believer helping him to understand the Scriptures. And we know that that is the only way that we can understand the Scriptures, is for the Holy Spirit to reveal the Scriptures to us. So the lamp had many symbolic purposes, but I want to illustrate just a few of those symbolic, or the very practical one. The first one, the lamp was a guide. In other words, the lamp lit the room from which the priest went into the holy place. There was no windows in there, and the lamp gave off the light so the priest could see to do his work. And I believe that this is a picture of the Holy Spirit work in guiding the believer. The Bible says in John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And then I believe that the lamp light illuminated the table of shewbread, which was representative of God's Word. Now, listen, if the priest had not had the light there in the tabernacle, he would have tripped on all around trying to do his work. But with the light, he could see to eat the bread and to perform his duty. And so you and I don't have to read the Bible in the dark either. Now, I want you to understand that. People say I can't understand the Bible. There's no need for me reading it. I don't understand what I read. Now, that's just the lie of the devil telling you to keep you away from the Word of God. Amen. You don't have to read the Word of God in the dark, because the Word of God don't have to be archived, or it don't have to be old-fashioned or mine. We have the Holy Bible to read. And not only we have the Holy Bible to read, but we have the Holy Spirit of God that teaches us and to help us to understand what the Holy Bible means. And so the Holy Spirit lives inside of all believers, and he teaches us as believers, he teaches us the Holy Scriptures, and what a wonderful truth that is. Now, we know that our forefathers, they didn't have Bible college degrees. Most of them didn't even have a high school education. Most of them didn't even have a elementary education. But we know that our forefathers understood the Word of God because they had the Holy Spirit of God that lived inside of them. And so it's not education that reveals the Scriptures to you. I know there's a lot of people that has all kinds of degrees. They are so misunderstood of the Word of God, and so it just takes the Holy Spirit. So the third thing I want you to see, the light illuminated the altar of incense. Now this represented a place of prayer where the altar of incense was. It was a picture of the Holy Spirit's help in the believer's prayer life. Look what Romans 8:26 said. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now you have holy help when you go to pray. And sometimes, and I've heard people say this, sometimes we feel like that our prayers are not going any higher than the ceilings. Have you ever said that? I wish you would pray for me because I don't feel like that my prayers are getting in higher than the ceiling. I'm sure that we've all said that, but don't be too sure of that. Don't be too sure that your prayers is not getting anywhere. Because the Bible says that if there's nothing between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's no sin between you, the Bible says right here when you kneel and say something, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit of God says, this is what He's trying to say. Thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? When you're down there trying to pray and you're so brokenhearted or so burdened or so heavy that you don't know how to put it into words and you stumble and you say everything and you don't even know what you're saying. You say, don't get nowhere. You got the Holy Spirit that is interpreting that for you. And this is what He says. Now He says, Father, this is what your child really meant to say. This is what he was trying to say. Because you say, how can He do it? Because He knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. You may not be able to put it into words with your mouth, but the Holy Spirit knows what's in your heart. So He offers your true petitions before God on what that you need. So don't you ever think that you're not doing any good when you're praying. The light, also the fourth thing, the light allowed work to be performed. Perhaps the most important job in the tabernacle was taking the blood on the Day of Atonement, past the veil, into the holies of holy, and placing it on the mercy seat. Other work was done daily in the holy place. But the yearly atonement was the most important part of our task of the priest. The blood represented the remission of sin. The blood represented the forgiveness of sin for another year. And that was so important, performing the picture of the sacrifice and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And the light of the lamp made that possible. The lamp pictures how the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, works in the lives of people when they're saved. Now look what 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says. And when He is come, talk about the Holy Spirit. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. John chapter 16 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. And he who now letteth will land. And he there is referring to the Holy Spirit until he be taken out of the way. And that is the Holy Spirit. When the light of the lamp of God was burning, the priest had guidance. The priest fed on the showbread, a picture of the understanding of the scriptures. The priest's prayers were made and received, and the priest could do his work, and he was able to offer the sacrifice for God's people. The spiritual life of Israel was dependent upon whether or not the lamp was lit. Not no very trivial thing. It's very important. It's very important that the lamp stay lit. The whole spiritual life of the nation of Israel was dependent upon that. And God said in Exodus when He told them to make the lamp, let the people bring in the pure olive oil and don't let the lamp go out. In all the years of the history of Israel, priest after priest, the light never went out. As they moved from place to place with that portable tabernacle, they would pack that little lamp up in blue cloth. And when the tabernacle was set up, the high priest took that lamp out and lit it. And that lamp was never to go out. It was up to burn always. As long as the lamp burned, the Bible says Israel had light. As long as that lamp burned, Israel understood God's word. As long as that lamp burned, Israel got their prayers answered. As long as that lamp burned, Israel had their offerings accepted by God. But listen, but one day, something happened. We come to a place where the light was getting ready to go out. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3 says, and the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. That means there was no more guidance. That meant there were no more, they didn't hear no more word from God. There had been no vision said. No more prayers answered. No more offerings accepted. Israel was at the point of backsliding. as she could be. She was backslidden. The light had gone out. In the next chapter, Philistines will overthrow the nation of Israel and the ark of God will be taken. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone stole the very presence of God? So it would not have been possible if these people had kept up their jobs. This menial little task of keeping oil in the lamp, and they couldn't even do that. What a task. Just make sure that you keep the oil in the lamp, and they couldn't even do that. They couldn't keep the oil. And so the lamp went out. In the next chapter, Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will die bitter deaths. The wife of Phinehas will have a child, and they'll name that child Ichabod. And Ichabod meaning no glory, because the glory of God had departed from Israel. You know, he said, put over the door of the house of God, Ichabod, because the glory has departed. So in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the lamp of God was out and God withdrew his blessing from the people he loved. But in chapter 3, we see the lamp of God flickering and about to go out because somebody failed to do his job in supplying the lamp with oil. If you look at verse 1, you can see this was coming. There was no open vision, it says in chapter 3, verse 1. There was no open vision. It had been years since anyone had heard from God. God hadn't spoken to him in years. Just before the lamp of God went out, Eli and his sons failed to fill the lamp with oil. God spoke to someone else, a little boy named Samuel. Samuel was being prepared to become God's spokesman. And I believe the light flickered and went out in verse 11 when God passed the torch from Eli to Samuel. So thank God that Samuel saw the importance of keeping the light on. But then as far as Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and the others alive at that time were concerned, it was too late for them. The light had gone out. I thank God for Samuel's ministry. But my message this morning is not about Samuel. My message this morning is to the church, to you and I, that makes up the church of the living God, concerning our job. It has to do with some of the symbols that we find here in this passage. First of all, the lamp is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the oil is the picture of the Holy Spirit. And so we were saying when Christ was preparing his disciples, he said to them, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, as the New Testament church, we are the lamps of God. You're sitting here in this church house this morning and you're saved and you are a lamp of God. We make up the lamp of God this morning. And we are to shine in our communities. We are to shine in our everyday life, wherever, whether it's on the work in the workplace or on school or wherever it be. So all is to be supplied by believers who are filled with the Spirit of God. When we fail to replenish the supply of oil in this lamp, the fire goes out and the blessings are lost in the church. Listen, although the earthly consequences may not be as dramatic as they were in the Old Testament, God wants to keep the light on in the church. Did you hear what I'm saying? God wants to keep the light on in the church. And when I'm saying that, I'm not talking about these beautiful lights, these beautiful chandeliers that we have hanging here and how beautiful they are. And I appreciate the light they give out. One thing that I never have liked is to go into a church that's dark. I don't have good lighting. I just don't like that. I just don't feel comfortable in a place. I like a place that is lidded good. Or I don't know what lidded or lighted or whatever you want to say. But that's not the light that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about keeping these lights on, but I'm talking about the light of the gospel which is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Don't put your light under a bushel. But listen, I thank God for our church. But if we fail to replenish the supply of oil to the lamp, the fire will go out and the light will go out. What that means for us spiritually is the same as it was in the Old Testament. No more guidance. The church will flounder around and wonder what in the world has happened. What do we do now? There will be no more feeding on God's word if the light goes out. There will be things will dry up and become dead if there's no light on. There will be no more answers to prayers. There will be little or no fellowship. There's no soul winning going on at the church. This is not only true in the life of the church, but this is also true in the life of an individual Christian. Not only is it true in an individual Christian, but it's true in a country like America. When the first settlers settled over here, God began making himself a nation to praise him and to honor him. We sent missionaries out from this country, and I believe with all my heart that's why that God's blessing has remained on this country as long as it has. It's because we're the country above every other country that sends out more missionaries than anybody else. We're trying to do one thing right. We're trying to evangelize the world. And I believe that that's why that America has been blessed as long as she has, is that we send missionaries out and to preach the Word of God. And so I want to say we have been blessed, and the nation is important that the light not go out in America. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We must keep the light on and realize that we're responsible if the light goes out. But what makes the light go out? You say, "Preacher, what you're talking to him in symbolism and you're talking to him in spiritualism, what in the world are you talking about? What's going to cause the world, what's going to cause the world not to be able to see Jesus in their life? What's going to dim our light and not let our light shine as bright as it should out here in the world? What affects that? What affects that as us as individual Christians? We've got a responsibility, every one of us does. So what does that do then? Here are three reasons from the Word of God that the light goes out. And the first reason is when there is no separation in the ministry of God. When there is no separation in the ministry of God. 1 Samuel 2:12 says, "Now the son of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." He was a priest. Eli was a priest by succession. His boys were supposed to grow up and become priests as well, but they were sons of Belial. They were unsaved boys, and they were supposed to become priests of Israel. His sons were doing the work of the ministry, and they were not even converted. Look what verse 17 says. "Wherefore the sins of the young men were great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offerings of the Lord." These young men, Hophni and Phinehas, they were gluttons, the Bible says. When the people would bring their sacrifice, Eli's son would grab them out of their hands. They would pervert the sacrifices of God to the point that folks didn't want to have anything to do with the house of God. Why didn't people want to have anything to do with the house of God? Because some unsaved boys were in charge of the house of God. Didn't want anything to do with it. So, oh God, give us saved preachers, converted preachers, to stand behind the sacred days. We have too many folks preaching and parading around on television preaching who are not even saved. Now you know that I'm telling the truth. Now Eli was very old, verse 22, and heard all that his sons did unto all of Israel and how they lay with the women. Now look at that. Look what it says. Now Eli was very old, verse 22, and heard all that his sons did unto all of Israel. This father knew what they were doing and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Don't tell me that these boys weren't in trouble with God. These things were going on in the very house of God. Boy, that's almost unbelievable that something like this were going on in the house of God, but it was. There were some things going on in the churches today that should never be happening. Do you believe that? There There's a lot of things that are going on in the houses of God that are not, should not be happening. When Eli allowed his unsaved sons to represent God, it was not just an injustice to the congregation, but it was an injustice to the whole nation of Israel. Now that little Samuel had nothing to do with those unsaved boys. He was very smart. He just went on and did his little job and stayed away from them. And thank God that Samuel was smart enough and wise enough to do that. I thank God that one day a mother named Hannah took her little boys to church and decided that this was the place where her boy ought to be. And I want to say to you, and I know there's not many here this morning, but I want to say to all the moms and dads here, raise your children in church. Raise your children. It does make a difference. Don't be guilty of sending them or dropping them off, but bring your children and stay with them. She said, this is where my child, this is where my son needs to be. In the house of God. Eli's sons were rebels. They robbed people of their sacrifices and their money. They were overlords and they ruled by force. They committed terrible, wicked crimes with these people. They were supposed to be taking the oil and filling the lamp and doing the work of the ministry. Instead, they were perverting the ministry and not paying attention to what God said. God said that the oil was supposed to be pure. Listen, pure olive oil. The oil is supposed to be pure. God wants His ministry pure. God wants His people to live pure lives. But you don't hear much about separation anymore being preached in the house of God. But God hasn't changed His mind. God still wants His people pure. God cannot and will not work where sin is mixed with righteousness. Did you hear what I'm saying? God cannot and will not work where sin is mixed with righteousness. He'll not do it. Servants of God needs to stay pure. I would say to anybody sitting here this morning that holds any position in this church, I would beg you as your pastor, keep yourself pure. Live pure lives. God wants to use you, but He cannot use a dirty vessel. Keep yourself pure. So the first thing that happens causes the light to go out when there's no separation in the ministry of God. Unconverted people, unsaved people, unholy people, people that are not even saved in the church doing the work of God. Then the light will go out. The light will go out.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.